Do I see myself as a feminist? Well, of course I do. I don't see myself as a feminist writer, you know, with a hyphen between the two, but that's a different matter altogether. But as a private citizen, I've been a feminist since the ideas attached to the current recent wave of feminism came out in the mid-60s to late-60s. And I think that society has changed and there's now a more general feeling of course there should be equality between both sexes, but this wasn't so. If people hadn't fought for a lot of things, and I did also feel the need to assert a female voice in Scotland particularly, you know, I felt that it was important that, unlike previous women writers, I didn't feel that I had to write like a man. I might write a play that had 12 men in it and no women. I might, but I wouldn't do it without noticing the way some men might.
Do you find it easier then, obviously, to write from a woman's perspective and not have any men within?
No. I don't. Come in.
Hi.
We're doing a wee interview just now. It's all right. Don't bother. Come back at 4 for the group. That'd be magic. Is that all right?
Yeah, fine.
Cool. Okay, see you soon. It's lovely. He's writing really well. His writing's really, you know, taking a quantum leap. It's how writing seems to work. You know, you stick in a sort of plateau for a while and then you take a big advance forward. I did feel pressured, I think, to write from a female point of view, pressured internally and from the outside. It's interesting, actually. I've just been working on a very short preface for Agnes Owen's collected short stories. And one of the things that I used to find shocking about Agnes in the mid-70s was that she wrote in a male point of view, and that often the males she wrote about were very disrespectful to women. Mm-hmm. You know, and she just wrote it down. I mean, she obviously took great relish and great freedom into becoming a man, and I understood that, you know. And I would think, gosh, can you do that if you're a woman? Yes, you can do anything. Actually, if you're a writer, you can do anything you like to do. There's no reason why you can't write in the voices of men, women.
Would you see it as a form of escapism then?
Writing is a form of escapism, of course. Mm-hmm. Even if it's escaping into the very heart of what you're stuck with, you know, it's still a form of escapism. You know, and I think it often is. Going into what you're stuck with, annoyed by, and so on. But if you're going in as a writer, then you've got all sorts of reasons and all sorts of fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Writing is all about fun, really, isn't it? Not really.
Well, there has to be some fun moments somewhere in it, I think. I think it becomes less and less fun the longer you do it. There's more struggle involved all the time. But the struggle is to get to those moments of freedom when you're enjoying it. And if you weren't ever getting them, then I don't think you would be able to be bothered with it.
Mm-hmm. You just said that writing, you gain leaps of understanding, sort of. You're in a plateau and then you make a quantum leap. Are you still making quantum leaps at the moment?
Oh, no. No, I don't think I am. No, I'm... I don't think you necessarily get better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, just various students that I meet, though. Mm-hmm. It's lovely to be around while people are doing that thing. And I watch that they all do stay, you know, at the one... And then there's a breakthrough poem or a breakthrough piece, or there's something that, you know... that somebody's really getting that. And that's lovely, just to be around watching it. I sometimes feel jealous of the freedom of some of the students I've been seeing. You know, it was the other night at the art school, there's a young poet, and she'd been writing. She's a painter. She's a very good painter. And she had been working on her thesis all last term, and she said she hadn't been writing creatively at all. And we just got going in a daft wee project, which is the same one as I'm going to try with the group when they turn up in 25 minutes. She just let go in such a, you know, a lovely way. She had a voice and was able to let that voice kind of, it's a lyric voice, but let it out with an ease. She's one of these poets with a sort of intimate voice. It's as if she's just speaking into a corner of your ear. It's a voice that, it's a tone that I would like to achieve myself more often. And she just was able to do it. Of course, the piece that she wrote in half an hour wasn't perfect, but all it needed doing to it really was the bits that are not right, taking out, mm-hmm. you know, the bits that were a bit literary, the bits that talked about, you know, a constellation of cherry stones at her feet, you know, in the dirt. And then she found out, you know, that she just wanted to put the stones at my feet in the dirt, you know, it was better. And it was about that kind of thing, about being able to get to that unpretentious place. But sometimes things that sound very easy were a struggle. The point is you've got to make them sound easy by the end, or flowing. But no, I'm not necessarily getting better at it at all. No, I feel just like an apprentice at the moment. I don't write nearly as many poems as I used to, and the only consolation for that is that the ones that I write are more important to me, you know, not to the world, or, you know, not in a literary sense, but, you know, that they're more essential in the end to me, the ones that I managed to get done. It's a funny business.
I mean, a lot of the poems I've read of yours are very personal, very, very personal.
Well, they're not. And
they seem
there's a persona at work. I think that everything that everybody writes is very personal to them. I mean, if there's some science fiction writer, to J.G. Ballard, it's very personal. You know, this fantastical world that he's done, you know, it has to chime in with your own deepest desires and so on. But nobody ever thinks that novelist things are personal, whereas if you try and write things that sound personal as a poet, people never think of the fictional aspects of them. I'd really like to write more fictional things. That's what I'm writing that's exciting me the most at the moment. That's the things that I get, the old buzz that I used to get from writing poems 30 years ago. I still love writing a poem, though, more than anything else in the world, even ones that are a struggle.
What kind of buzz did you used to get, or do you still get?
Oh, you still do. It's just that buzz that you want to get it finished, that you want to stay up half the night if necessary, writing it out and writing it back down again the same, but with a different slant on it and changing a word from the beginning of the line to the end. And it's that sort of drafting and redrafting. It's very much a biro thing. Wouldn't want to go to the computer till very late drafts. But I'm now going to the computer, even for, you know, for the later drafts of poems. And I wonder if I shouldn't. We should try and ban that until the typing up stage. Maybe it's something as strange as having it printed too early that is stultifying rather than freeing.
Yeah, feels final when it's printed.
Yeah, which is strange because, I mean, plays don't. I do like having a word processor for plays. And it actually just feels like a perfect, transparent version of the way I used to write, when I would literally cut and paste and the pages would become so thick they had to be photocopied flat down, you know, before going to the typist to get typed up. And I type really slowly, but it's fast enough if you're thinking. It's fast enough for first drafts, and it's frustrating for me to type up things. It just is. I'm so slow. So it's okay typing up a poem. It's kind of part of the fun. But I'd hate to type up a play from, you know, from a whole draft. But I really like having the ability to cut and paste in a play. But of course you've got to keep printing out and scribbling on it.
When did you think, oh, I could be a full-time writer?
Gosh, I don't think I ever have. Thought that I've sort of struggled on from year to year thinking I won't get a real job for another wee while. And now, because I've had that big 60 birthday, I could retire. Somebody else said, who would know the difference? And
charming.
But no, I mean, obviously writers don't really retire, do they? Just go on with writing the next thing. But it would be interesting not to, I mean, I don't feel that I'm trying to work out a career or something like that. You know, it's just, I think, could I write a story about that? Could I write some stories? Could I collect them together? That'd be nice. I'd love to do a collection of short fiction. A lot of them, I think, would be dramatic monologues. But they would be, they'd be what I think of as short stories. And some of them are adapted from performance pieces. I've always liked the dramatic monologue. But I like the dramatic monologue in poetry. And I think, in a way, all the I poems, the ones that you think of as very personal, are actually sort of dramatic monologues, sometimes spoken in the voice of a person quite like me, but other ones not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do feel that distance and difference between the I that I write and myself. I mean, the I that I write is very rarely me,
mm-hmm.
or very rarely quite me. There have been a couple of them. And maybe, yes, that is probably true, that the poems I've been writing recently have had more of a naked mm-hmm. eye. Yeah.
Why do you think that is then?
I haven't a clue.
Is there anything you've tried to write that you have tried over and over? It hasn't quite worked.
Oh, quite a few things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For instance, I tried for a long, long time to write a play based on a true event. There's a woman I know, she's a friend, called who believes that her father murdered a little girl. That I can remember the little girl disappearing when I was 7 and when was 7. This little girl was a year older than us. Disappeared one day in a blizzard. And I became fascinated by not so much the story, but of the murdered little girl, but of the story of believing that her father had done such a thing. That was the story that interested me. And I kept trying to make a drama of that. And I wrote a very good film script for it, and a lot of people have liked that, but it's not been made because people say, Well, because there isn't an ending to it, because, you know, it was never found out to be the ending of that mystery. And that was kind of the point to me, was that there was no end to it. Mm-hmm. So I tried to make that the end. And I think the film script works very well to read. But as TV didn't make it in the end, I found that frustrating. So I tried about 4 or 5 or 6 ways of trying to make a play out of that, a stage play. And it's never worked. I've never quite given up. And I know that I've got to do something with the material, but I think I've got to take a fictional leap. I think that's the thing. And I tried to think what went wrong. And I think it was that my view of whether was right or wrong shifted during the writing and rewriting. My first versions of it, I didn't have such a gap of irony as later on. You know, I began, and also you worry about things that are people's own real lives. So I think I've got to have fiction. And I've written other plays that haven't gone anywhere. And I think I've not wanted to write them badly enough. Whenever you really want to write something, which I did with the material that belonged to, I think that'll have a more poetic or dramatic outcome eventually, once I can see the way of doing it with the freedom that I have with my own stories to fictionalise. You know, my own, you know, you said that the poems were very personal, and yes, sometimes I would say I could look back and connect things to specific biographical things in my life. But I think the act of writing removes that for me. So so there's obviously a sort of freedom even with things you care about. You also, you're always constructing it. You're always constructing a sort of, not so much a story, it's more a drama for me. And a drama might just be a dramatic situation. It might not be a complete drama. It might not be a drama with an outcome. It might be just a dramatic situation mm-hmm. that's described in, say, a poem without the outcome being involved in it. Some plays feel like long poems. You know, a play like Mary Queen of Scots got her head chopped off. The structure of it is dramatic. But there's a very static first half in that one scene does not lead to the other. The first half of the play describes 4 or 5 different aspects of Mary's life that were running concurrently. You know, you get what's she like with Bothwell, what's she get with Knox, what's she like about Elizabeth, and, you know, and all these things were sort of separated structurally to be dealt with, to be contrasted with Elizabeth's way with the same question. So all these things were completely concurrent until there was a dramatic action of Elizabeth sending Darnley to Scotland, and Mary falling in love with Darnley was the first bit of action that pushed on the second half of the play. So sometimes dramatisations are showing poetic states that exist and don't seem to have an out. And I think that's what I like about a Greek drama like Medea. Yes, there's terrible action happens in it, but at the end of it, the woman is stuck there saying, it will never be over. That action just seems to land her in a situation of being locked together with the husband, locked together in the agony of what's between them. I like working with other people's material when I'm stuck, because you're never stuck if you've got something starting. You know, like, it's great fun working with a Mollier or something. So if I do get stuck, I'll always be able to work, because I can always be doing versions of other people's things. And once you depart from that, that could, you know, always become something different.
Is that one of the things you enjoy most about Glasgow University, working with the students here?
What, the different versions of things?
Working with their different versions, their different styles of writing, seeing them improve.
Oh, yeah. No, I really love being around people as they're, you know, starting off doing it. And it's funny not to be able to be very reassuring with them. You know, I was talking to somebody just before you came, and he was saying, I don't really know what I'm doing. This thing's an experiment. And you sort of think, well, it always is, actually. You know, of course, you get less able to experiment freely as you get more experienced. You know, you don't do certain things that don't work, but it means you don't do anything sometimes. And sometimes people will be trying things that are, you know, they're not going to work, but they've had such good fun finding out they don't work, or they actually sometimes make things work that you know, that oughtn't to, or they make an aspect of it work, and then they can just use that one bit. No, it's terrific, because there's so many people that have got raw talent. It's not that raw, some of them. Some of them are becoming increasingly sophisticated. But it interests me that sometimes when there's students who are not writing very well at first when they come, you know, they're maybe writing in a cliched kind of forms and don't really know what they're doing. Some of them, you know, advance really quickly. So the desire to write is the main thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the desire to do it can sometimes lead to them doing it really a lot better than they start off. Of course, some people, because because those people want to write. You know, they're not people who want to be writers. You also meet some people that, you know, want you to tell them what to write, and they kind of are interested in becoming writers rather than writing something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whenever people are writing something, whether it works or doesn't, it's just an exciting time, especially as loads of them are, that are open enough to see what does work and what doesn't. No, they're great. That I haven't been seeing stacks and stacks of students, but those that I have seen, I think, are really, you know, all of them working hard and, you know, terrifically open to things. You know, I've not found very many people who are so kind of precious about their work that they won't take criticism. Most people realise that if you bother to pointing out that word there is killing the image next to it, you know, it's pulling it or whatever. If people are open enough to just see that it's not a criticism, but, you know, which most people seem to be, then it's very exciting. But occasionally I've been feeling old, you know, sometimes... You know, you go, my God, I wish I had that amount of nerve to deal with that thing, you know. Because some things that people are dealing with are, you know, are not working out very well. But they've got great kind of courage and stamina, and I'll do it all again. And what's interesting is that most people begin to recognise the bits that do work for them. And I think that the workshop situation's good because the wee group that meet, there's only, what, half a dozen of us, or sometimes seven or eight. People are really, really grateful for other people's critical points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they seem to have got to the stage of so not feeling got at, so feeling supported by someone's opinion. And it's always helpful. It's always necessary to be able to see your work from another person's point of view. And you always meet a few people that don't like doing that. They say, oh, well, I don't want to read anything at the moment because I'm writing this and I don't want to, you know. And I agree with people. I mean, if you're writing, you know, a novel about a particular thing, don't read somebody else's work on the same subject at the moment. But don't stop reading. Read different stuff that feeds into it. And it's that sort of trial and error, which I think is more complicated for you as you know, the more choices you have. Mm-hmm. And yet now and again you get beyond all that. I mean, you must have felt that when you were writing that short story.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just suddenly you're going, okay, I know what's going to happen here. And it's as if you're writing it down rather than writing it.
Yeah.
And that only happens now and again.
It's really exhilarating when it does happen. Really mm-hmm. exhilarating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's, I mean, it's an old question, but do you think it's actually possible to teach people how to write? Or do you think it's something that you hone?
No. Of course you can't.
Yeah.
But you can, encourage people to teach themselves to write. You can encourage them to look at their work with an irony and an outside eye,
mm-hmm.
an outside ear. You can encourage them to be honest. And you don't want ever to spoil anybody's fun in what they've done. But you can point out that, well, that particular rhyme is very forced and lame and weakens the rest of your piece. So do you want to leave it like that, or are you going to do something about it? Up to you. I mean, I'm always saying to people, it's up to you. Nobody ever has to change a word to suit anybody else. But if people sit around this table and five out of six people tell them that they don't, you know, they had thought it was written in a woman's point of view and it was actually a man, and that they were annoyed at not realising to the last line, you know, that kind of thing. There's no point in saying, it's not meant to be a man, you know, or mm-hmm. it's not meant to be a woman. You know, people take on board how other people read things. And I like writers who want to communicate rather than to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's the purpose of writing then, communication, putting across a particular idea? Or do you think it's not always necessary?
No, I think the point of it probably is expression.
Mm-hmm.
For the writer, anyway, is to express something that they don't know. Usually it's to express something to yourself. You know, it's not to communicate with another bit of yourself, really, mm-hmm. via that expression. And then looking at this bit of expression as if it was written by somebody else and trying to make it communicate better.
Yeah.
With yourself and others. Of course it's very important to be expressing yourself. And I definitely do feel that if I've expressed something or if I've communicated with that other bit of me, if it doesn't for other people, that's okay. But I've got to be being honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people at the beginning of writing are a wee bit, you know, hello,